Yeah. So let's begin with the preliminary discussion of this. We'll try not to. It's a massive, massive topic, but since we want to get to, we've been going through the different Avos HaZiken, and been using the beginning Dapim to do that. And we're mostly, you know, we're coming towards the end of at least the, you know, the mainstream list, as it were. So we're not going to spend weeks and weeks on Aish, even though one could, because it's a very fascinating, very extensive topic. But at least we want to do, you know, some of the basic issues. So where we can't come to it is from the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Beis, where again, in the, you know, continuing search to explain, you know, Rav Papa said, Yesh, you know, there are some Avos HaZiken where Toldoseim are Kiyotzebahem, and there are some that ain't Toldoseim Kiyotzebahem. And then the Gemara challenged Rav Papa. Right? The question is, which ones yes and which ones no? And the Gemara started going through each one, Karen and Jane and Regel, and Bor, and Adam, and that gave us the opening, you know, to kind of analyze each of these, distinctively, and to try to put our finger on what it is that is characteristic of each one of these Avos HaZiken. So, it's, you know, been using kind of this these Gemaras as a springboard to analyze the Avos in a broader way. So now we're up to H. The last thing we discussed was Adam, and now we're up to H. So here on Gimel, thank you very much. Here on Gimel and Beis, the Gemara says that Tolda the Mabe Kimabe, V'chi Kamara Papa, Atolda the Aish. Okay, that maybe, you know, maybe Aish is the one, you know, it's going to turn out not to be the one. You don't want to disappoint anybody, but we've read the conclusion of the Gemara already, so we know this already. But still, again, it opens up a window into what it is. So the Gemara says, Tolda the Aish Mainiu, what is, in order to analyze whether the Tolda of Aish is Kiyotzebahem or Lav Kiyotzebahem, first we have to identify what it is that is told of the age. The Gemara says, Ilema avano sakinu maso shenicha barosh gogo v'nafla baruach mitzuya v'ziku heichadami. If the case is a case where, not fire, because that's the av, but somebody puts an object, you know, some sort of an object with mass, with some sort of weight, you put it on Rosh Hagag, right, in a way that it's carried by a ruach mitzuya, in other words, the natural or expected force of nature is likely to turn it into some sort of a projectile. That's the idea behind it. So the Gemara says, ibahadi da ozli kamazki, if it damages, you know, in motion, as you put this object, right, in a place where the wind's going to carry it, and the wind does carry it, and it damages in transit, if you will. So the Gemara says, "Hainu Eish." That is Eish, meaning that's a told of Eish, but that is certainly seems to be Kiyotze Bo. That seems to be comparable, similar to Eish itself. Maishna Eish, and then the Gemara elaborates, the Koch Acher Meura Bahen. Now, again, as in the other examples of this, right, the Gemara is pushed to kind of provide a you know, very quick definition of what is characteristic of Aish. So what is characteristic of Aish such that Avon HaSakinu Maso is comparable to it? The answer is, right, Koach Acher Mu'urav Bahem, that it is controlled, right, not by Koach Adam, as we'll see in a moment, by Koach Acher Mu'urav, by some other force, right, that is integrated with your force. Umamoncha, we'll see in a moment, that's not so simple, right? And it is yours. That's not simple. If you look at Tosas here, we've discussed it already. They have a parallel Gemara by Bor. In the case of Bor, it's even more obvious. The Bor is not owned typically by the person who created the Bor. A typical Bor is a Bor B'shus HaRabim. An Eish may typically be that of the, you know, person who is responsible for the spread of the Aish. But does it have to be? So Tosas here says, Umamon Chalav Dafka, right? Gabi Bor, the Lav Mamona, who in the case of Bor, certainly not precise. He says, Vechen Gabi Eish, the Pshita Vim Hidle Gedisho Shal Chaveiro, Be'esh Shal Acher, the Chayim. Tosa says, in his opinion, Eish doesn't have to be in the bailus of the Bala Eish. And we'll see in a moment, this is a reference, if you look at the little, you know, whatever that is, that little reference point, it refers, of course, to Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Kveger. And if you look at Rabbi Kveger, he says, Ayin Kaman Chav Besim and Aleph, Tosa Tibra Maskel, Eisho Mishum Mamona. And that's actually where we're going, so we'll see that in a couple of minutes. It's actually Machokas between Rashi and Tosas. Rashi on Chav Besim and Aleph, which we'll see in a couple of minutes, is of the opinion that Eisho Mishum Mamona, I'll explain that in a minute too, has to be owned by the person. In other words, for that comparison, you know, to call Eish Mamono, to compare it to your shore, you have to be the owner of the shore, right? Or at least the quasi-owner of the shore, the shomer of the shore, in which case you're a stand-in for the owner. So too, Eish has to be Bibaluscha. That's Rashi's opinion. We'll see it inside in just a minute. And the Bali Tosas there, much... Something ricochets, that's called Sroros, the koach of the behema, but not the behema's, you know, rufo, if you will. And that's called Sroros, and only thing has to be Sroros, etc. That's Toldaseim Lav Kiyotzabat. But either way, for our purposes right now, when it comes to Eish, the Gemara is saying that the Tolda of Eish, Avonos Akino Maso, Shehizik, right, you know, Bederech al Yidei Ruach Metsuya is Kiyotzebo of Eish. Now, this is going to pose a little bit of a problem according to one view of the Rishonim and one view in the Achronim, but held by, you know, a prominent Rishon and a prominent Achron, and that is the Ra'ah and Rab Chaim. I'll tell you why now, and, you know, we'll get back to it maybe later on. The Ra'ah, you can just look at it just for a minute. In the Mar Makomos, there on the Shita Mekubetzes later on, Anaf Nun Vav Amin Aleph, is actually of the opinion that if you look, it's on the third page. Oh, yeah. Do I have yours? Yeah. The third page, and you'll see Shita Mekubetzes there in the Ra'ah, right, line 13. So the Ra'ah says something very remarkable. What he says is, I'll just tell you what he says first and then I'll read it in. I can learn to look at line 15 for the moment. Umistabranami, everybody have that? Davono sakino maso shenicham barosh gago v'nofa baruach mitzuya v'hiziku d'chashvinu le'tol d'deish. The case of avono sakino maso shenich rosh gago, which is a Tolda Beish, as established at the very beginning of the Masechta, right, Gimel Amud Beis, Leika lemichshavinu chitzav ela mamona. Again, we're going to discuss what this means in just a second, but that cannot be considered chitzav shel adam, his arrow, or his koach, we'll see in a moment, rather mamono. Okay. Ubenof al gedda shalom achas leika, deshorahu dechashvinu le, right, the Tolda Deish, leika lemichshavinu chitzav ela mamona. Okay, the top. That's the comment of the Ra'ah. Reb Chaim in Hilchos Shcheinim, again, we'll analyze it not today because there are other things we have to do first, comes to a very similar conclusion for the Rabbah. It's not simple at all, and many people disagree, but he doesn't quote the Ra'ah. Maybe he was unaware of it, but he too comes to the conclusion that Avano Sakino Maso Shehizik b'derech hiluchai de ruach mitzuya, namely the tolda of Eish, is only mamono and not chitzav. Okay, we'll explain chitzav and mamono in a minute. So, of course, so the question that I'm raising is, the Gemara here says that avonos akino maso is a tolda de Eish and it's kiyotzei, right? So the fact that it doesn't have the ability to be chitzav, can only be mamono, that isn't significant enough to be lav kiyotzei b'hen. Right? Something to think about. But we'll get to...
Why does it say it can't be What's that?
Why can it be? What's the reason?
Yeah, so we'll get to that. We'll have to explain that too. Yeah. That's what is chitza. And then we'll have to understand.
What does it mean when it says we'll tough off by faith?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second too. It means like you have mum on the shore and you didn't watch it properly. You didn't close the gate in front of it. Right. That's another way of saying Esho Mishum Mamon. So I'm just pointing out that this little Gemara, you know, this little Gemara seems to say everything is well and good for Esh and its Tolda. I mean, the Tolda of Esh is Kiyot Zabot, there's no discrepancy. And I'm just pointing out that we'll see why a little later on, that according to the Ra'ad, according to Rab Chaim, factually, if you hold Esh and Mishum Chitza, which we're going to discuss in just a second, you know, that is actually not, I mean, it still might be true, but put it as, it's not a simple matter. Because an essential aspect of what Esh is, right, is actually not replicated or accomplished in its Torah. So it's just quite remarkable why no one, I can't say no one, I'm not aware that anybody asked this question to the Ra'ah or to Rab Chaim.
What happens if somebody else put the Avnos Sakino Maso Baruch Hagag?
What do you mean someone else?
Somebody else took his Evan, his Sakin, his put a Baruch Hagag, and he...
I mean, it's not Mamono.
No, it's his money, but somebody else put it up there.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's not the Mamono of the person who put it in the...
Yeah, right.
Well, that's part of the problem of whether or not Eshem Shem... Again, if you hold Eshem Shem Chitza, it doesn't matter at all, in general. We'll see in a moment. But if you hold Eshem Shemamono, that's part of the debate between Rashi and Tosis. Same as the Esh itself. Okay, so what is this Mishum Chitza Mishum Mamono that I'm alluding to?
Papa have a position, one or the other, Mishum Chitza Mishum Mamono? Because this is more of a point to our Papa. So the question is, what is our Papa's view on...
Hard to know.
Right.
And what we'll see in the end is, I mean, we're now going to go from here, we're just going to go to the Gemara of Eshem Shemitza, Eshem Shemamono, and what you're going to see in a minute... is that the Gemara's initial view is that these are two mutually exclusive perspectives. In other words, you hold one, you can't hold the other. And then, after a daf of back and forth, of Shakavatarya, the Gemara is going to seemingly conclude that, at least for Rabbi Yochanan, they're not mutually exclusive. That maybe there are two dinim. There's Eshem Mishum Chitzo and Eshem Mishum Mamono, and for Ashokar, there's only Eshem Mishum Mamono. Now, that would obviously mitigate the question that I just raised somewhat, but not completely. And also not everybody interprets that way. So this is something to think about or to keep in the back of your mind. Okay, so let's jump to Chav Beis Omid Aleph for now. And discuss this question. Okay. So we're going to go from Chav Beis Omid Aleph to Chav Gimel Omid Aleph now. This through the Shakavatarya, but we're going to raise the questions as we go along, and then we'll analyze them more fully. So the Gemara says here on Chav Beis Amid Aleph, Itmar Rabbi Yochanan Amar, for the context we'll get to in just a second, I mean, what is this Gemara doing in the middle of the second parak? Truth is that most of the Eish Gemaras, I should mention, Eish, of course, is mentioned in the Mishnah, we'll get back to that too, it's called Hever. Rishonim already asked the question, why do you call it Hever and not Eish? Why not just call it Eish? In fact, in the Mishnah, on Beis Amid Aleph, it's called both. Right? If you look very quickly, sorry, go back to the Mishnah for a minute. We have Arba Avos Hazikin, right? Hashor, Habor, Hamave, the Hever. Right? So, Eish is Hever. Okay? And then the Mishnah says, right? Lo Hare Hashor, Kare Hamave, Lo Hare Hamave, Kare Hashor, Lo Zevze Sheish Bem Ruach Chaim, Kare HaEish, She'em Bo Ruach Chaim. So some of the Mefarshim were just bothered linguistically by the question. A, why do you call Eish Hever? Why don't you just call it Eish? We all know it is Eish, right? Why do you call, according to Rav, who thinks that Mava is Adam, why do you call Mava Adam? Okay. But also striking that in the same Mishnah, we use both expressions. We use the expression Hever and we use the expression Eish. There's also another little puzzle, just to mention, and we'll get back to the rest of it in just a couple of minutes, and that is the Pnei Yoshua and some other Achronim note, that if you look at the Rashi on the Mishnah, and on Beis Amid Aleph, it's curious that Rashi Dibra Maskal Hever. See the last couple of words on the wide lines in the beginning, four lines out from the top. Right? Mava, the Gemara says Mefarish, but Hashor Abor, so they say Kesedra Shein Ksuvim Beparsha, Sidra Mishnah. Okay, great. Mava, and then comes Hever, and Rashi says Kiteitse Eish. So Pinoshua just asks this question, like, you know, why does Rashi feel the need to quote a pasuk Kiteitse Eish for Hever, you know, without quoting the psukim for the other of Zizik? Why does he feel more defensive, if you will, about Eish than the others? Okay, just curious. You know, we collect anomalies, you know, and then we try to determine whether they point to a pattern or they just remain scattered anomalies. Look at the Rambam for a minute in Perek Yudalid, Hilchos Niske Mamon Halach Aleph. Perek Yudalid is the end of Hilchos Niske Mamon, which is fascinating in its own right. Right, the Rambam ends pretty much on Eish. It doesn't end on Bor. Right, he ends on Eish, Mava Vahever, you know, like the Mishnah in that respect. But look on number 5 on page 1. This is actually Ram says Hamadlik Betoch Sada Chavero. That's actually a Chiddush, believe it or not. Hopefully, we'll get back to that. It's a very unnoticed Chiddush. That is that almost all the Rashi, Tosfos, almost all the Rishonim. Note that when the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim speaks about Eish, it sounds as if the Eish begins in your own field, and then it spreads to another field. That's a simple shot. For some reason, I mean, I have a theory, we'll get to it, the Rambam doesn't interpret that way. The Rambam says, Hamadlik betoch sade chavero. The default case is where the guy, you know, he ignites a fire in the other person. It's not that it spreads from your field to his field. Substantively and symbolically might be very different perspective. In other words, what's the image that you have? Attacking with Eish, you know, where it shouldn't even be, and directly, you know, to the other person's territory, right? Or, you know, doing a Dover HaRashus, or a self-destructive thing, if you will, in his own Rashus, you know, where the process part of it, you know, it's spread, you know, from an innocent, or at least a legally innocuous initial act because it's in its own property. So it's not just, you know, like technically, you know, what happened in this case. This is an important thing. Anyway, the Rambam, this is again, I think it's not a well-noticed, I think it's important. Hamadik b'tosad chavero, v'avra, that is what I want to point out though. V'avra hadleika, right, and the fire spreads, chayv l'shalim nezik shalim. Shenemar, that's how he interprets, ki teitzei eish, shalem yishalem amavir sabeira. That's the pasuk in Mishpatim. And then the Rambam adds, v'ha'v'ira, right, I mean, hever, me'avos nezikim hi. Okay, this is Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. He's describing all of the Nizkei Mamon, right, in the last week. It's interesting that he puts Eish in the end, okay. And then he has to add, v'ha'v'ira, me'avos nezikim hi, right, just like Rashi needs the pasuk. So there's something about Eish, right, that makes it particularly mechudash, if you will. Okay, and that's kind of why Rashi seems to need the pasuk and why the Rambam needs to make this comment. The Rishonim already, Bali Tosis already, point out that, you know, just the treatment of Eish and Bor in the Mishnah, might as well mention this now, and we'll get to some of the comments that are made by the Rishonim on it, is just different. Like the Mishnah says, Arbavos Hazikim Ashar and Bar Amava Vayaver. Sounds like we're treating them all equally so far, right? And then we say, Lo Hare Ashar, Kare Amava, Lo Hare Amava, Kare Ashar, right? But we don't spell out what they are, what the differences are. And then, Velo Zevezeh, Sheesh Ben Ruachayim, Kare Ha'esh, Embo Ruachayim. Again, you have the transition from Hever to Eish, that's number one. And number two, that, you know, Embo Ruachayim, below Zev is Shadarkan Leila Kulahazik, Karea Bor, Shain Darkan Leila Kulahazik. Hatsana Shava Shabahen, Shadarkan Lahazik, Shrasan Lechon, Shizakava Mazik, Sham Shabakate, Nezak Maitabar. So what you have is Shor and Mave, right? You have Loha Reis on both sides, Right? This isn't one isn't like that, that one isn't like this, meaning this has kulas, this has chumras, this has chumras, this has kulas. But when it comes to esh and bor, right, all you have seemingly are the kulas. Right? All you have is the statement that ein bahem ruach chayim, but it doesn't say anything about the others not being as severe. Esh is less than the others. That's what it tells us. It doesn't ever say, you know, that the others are less than Esh or less than Bor. So Tosas actually, on Beis Amud Aleph, makes a comment on this. If you look here, V'lo zev zesh esh ben ruach chayim. Okay, let's start, yeah, very quickly. Says Tosas. Right? When it comes to Shor and Mava, they say that, you know, this wasn't like that, that one isn't like this, meaning he's more makel in one way, you know, and more machmir in another, right? But it doesn't spell out what they are. Right? Mishum d'chad michad kalim tzo chomer be'echad ma'she'in v'chaveru. Because, you know, it's not that difficult to figure out, you know, what those things are. Hodel otani, here's a question I'm interested in. Hodel otani hocha lo re ha'esh kare ha'shor u'mave. K'diktoni le'el. Why don't you have a comment about, you know, not being able to learn from Eish because the chumras of Eish aren't in the others? Why don't we have that comment in the Mishnah, just like we have it with regard to Shor and Mame? So Tosa says, K'diktoni le'el lo re ha'mave kare ha'shor. Bishum shalaha yachal limtzo chumra mashein bishneim. The imishum koach hakar meurav bo, vein holech ledaito kamo shoro, ein zo chumra, middle lo choshev le, gabe chumra be'eshri b'shor. So basically, without going into too much, v'hod arminam lekamon gabe avana sakino, maishna eish to koach hakar meurav bo, vein holech ledaito, there it sounds like it's a chumra. Is it koach hakar meurav bo, kula or a chumra? Right? On the one hand, you could see that it's a kula, because it means that there are forces, right, that are not bar chiyuva, obviously, the wind, the, you know, gravity, whatever the others, you know, whatever the koach acher is, it's not a legal entity, right? So its involvement would seem to be a kula, right? Tosas is of the opinion, at least Tosas here, and mostly Tosas later on too, that it's always a kula. There are a couple of gemaras that make it seem like it's a chumra. Says Tosas, those gemaras don't mean it hachikama. What they mean is maishna eish afal pi shekoach hakam urabo roi lizchayevbo mishum shum amoncho shmiraso. Whenever it says koach hakam urabo, even the ones that make it sound like a chumra, like a reason to mean chayev, what they mean is even though it has the kula, it's still chayev. Can you believe it? You know. That's not the simple reading of Gemara. But that's what Tosas concluded. And then he adds, "Ubesefa gabi bor, havamatsu lemeimar, lo harei abor, shetchilas asiyas alenezek, kare elu, v'lochosh shehifsik be'esh." Right? So he blames not having a chumra of bor in the Mishnah on the fact that esh, you know, kind of ruined it for bor. If you look at the Rajba, Rajma says, you know, both Eish and Bor don't really have, in the aggregate at least, you know, they have kulas, they don't have chumras. Rajma himself isn't so sure that koach hakam urabo is always a kula. The truth is, as I say, mostly it's a kula because it's an entity that doesn't have legal responsibility. On the other hand, it's not an entity that detracts from responsibility either. In other words, especially if it's a natural force, so you have harnessed that force, you know, in other words, you could have anticipated, you should have, you know, been responsible enough, you know, to calculate, you know, that force, because it's a natural force, Ruach Metsuya or its equivalent, right? And you can't, you know, because it isn't a legal entity, you know, so it doesn't, as they say, detract, you know, from your own personal responsibility, right? Unlike a shore, for example, a shor is not a bardas in the sense of a human being a bardas, but you know, you could say, well, I didn't do it. Bessie did it, right? Leo did it, not me. But you can't say that about the wind, unless you want to blame the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? So, yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is that already in the Mishnah, Eish is treated, maybe Eish and Bor, but that also isn't surprising. We've done a little work on Bor. You know, Bor is an outlier. It really, according to many Rishonim, is a totally different kind of Chiyuv. So Eish and Bor, and here we're focusing just on Eish, in the Mishnah is just structurally treated differently. Now again, there are some Mepharshim who wave all that away. They say, yeah, it is, but for this reason, for that, technical reasons. But if you're looking for patterns, the Mishnah treats Eish differently. It also calls it something unusual, or actually has two names for it. And Rashi quotes a pasuk, and the Rambam, you know, found it necessary to add that it's one of the Avos Hazikin. Right. So the impression, the cumulative impression, let's say, just of all of this already, is that Eish is somewhat different, and that it is more, let's say, mechudash. Yeah.
Anybody refer to Shnayim Shatzul Peturim?
Say that again.
Shnayim Shatzul Peturim.
Regarding, you mean the Kolchacha Meurabo? Well, we'll see. I don't, you know, obviously Kolchacha Meurabo isn't exactly Shnayim Shatzul, because Shnayim Shatzul is two responsible people. You know, part of the story of Shnayim Shatzul is that each one doesn't do the whole thing. In that respect, I agree with you. It's parallel, has a parallel to Kolchacha Meurabo. Part of the story is that each one, you know, kind of usurps the responsibility of the other, and that you don't have at all in Kolchacha Meurabo. But we'll see. I mean, I think it is an interesting question in general. You know, the combination, I believe we made references earlier in the year, and that is when it comes to analyzing the relationship of the Avos Hazikin, which is what we've been doing, and the bigger question, which is, kind of, are they all one with compensations and small differences, or what I've been trying to suggest, which is very different mechaibim, you know, with some common denominator, obviously, but, you know, regarding that question, so one of the interesting questions is, what about hybrids? Then when you have a combination, that's a sugya above about, right, where you know, you need Kolchacha Meurabo to create the bor, right? You know, holach beruach mitzuya, now it's nach, right? It's sitting in Rishus HaRabim, and somebody trips on it. But it only got there because of Kolchacha Meurabo. That's hybrids. That's one kind of case to think about. Another kind of case is shutfus in mazik. Let's say you had two forces, two mazikin, right, combining forces in the nezek. And there's like, you could have a kind of shnayim shasu, meaning in a situation where either one would have been enough, or in a situation where you require both. Or in a situation where one is enough and the other is only misayeya, etc. So yeah, let's say, the shore knocks the other shore into the boar. And, there can be all sorts of scenarios. The boar alone would have been enough, but that's how it got there. The shore alone, negicha, would have been enough, but it ended up in the boar. It's a little bit of both, right? So, without going into details about that right now, let's just say the following. When it comes to hybrids, right, and when it comes to shutfus, so there are, roughly speaking, two factors, right, to think about. One is, the infinite one, if you will, and that is, like, what was the, in the particular case, you know, what was the relationship between the two hybrids that combined in terms of making one act, or the shutfus between two forces. There can be any, you know, infinite amount of cases, and the balance of let's say, impact, you know, or contribution, let's say, of one force or the other, there's a whole range in that. That's the imponderable, we're not, you know, that you have to look at in each and every case. That's not what I'm interested in the moment. What I am interested in the moment is there a difference between mazikim per se? Now, if you can cancel out, you know, the degree of participation or responsibility, like, is, by definition, al pidin, is there a difference between a shutfus between shor, you know, and bor, and shor and eish, or eish and bor, etc. In other words, if all mazikim, all the avos hazikim are basically one you know, unified theory, you know, like our Velvel thought and so on, the things that we discussed earlier in the year, with some compensation, then, you know, aside from the first question, there shouldn't be a fundamentally different principle, not with regard to hybrids and not with regard to, you know, partnerships in Mazik. You know, whatever it is, it is. However, if I say that, you know, one of these is based on Maisa Hezek, and another one is based on Yetziras HaMazik, and a third one is based on lack of Shmira, again, things that we have been discussing, right? So it could be that these different methods, let's say, or modes of Mazik don't necessarily combine, not as hybrids and not as partners in the same way. And then we would find very interesting nafkamina between. So one of the things we're always looking for, that's why I say, you know, Eish being more mechudash, Eish possibly operating, you know, in a different way, just like we were looking for Bor. Right, so if the Mishnah treats it differently, maybe Eish and Bor, right, and then, you know, Rashi, you know, is more self-conscious and thinks that he needs to quote a pasuk, and you know the Rambam needs to emphasize, etc. So we should be on the lookout for other. When I get into that, because you asked me about Shnayim Shasu, right? So what about Shnayim and Eish? Let's say there are two people. That's a third case. Two people in the same mazik, right? A combination of different mazikim together, right? Or a hybrid that is one mazik, but that has characteristics that come from two mazikim. If there are differences between the various mazikim, you know, regarding any of those three issues, as well as some other things, that will probably reinforce the notion that we're dealing with different b'chad. Okay, but this is something to look and think about. We'll get back to the Mishnah a little bit later. Now let's go back to Chav Gimel, though. So again, the context, what's it doing? That's how I got to this. What's it doing in the second parak on Chav Gimel and Aleph? You know, we understand what it connects to the Mishnah. Most of the most of the Dinim of Eish actually are dealt with in parak Akonis, in the end of the this came home on peace, right before Meruba. From Nun Tess or so to like Samech Gimel, that's the main section of Eish. If we really had the time to do a more thorough job, we would be doing straight that piece. But we'll jump in and out a little bit. What's it doing here? The answer is because there's a Mishnah here on Chaf Aleph from the base that we're going to get to in just a minute. And that Mishnah is used as an initial, you know, proof for the shitas that we're about to discuss. So what are these shitas? Let's get to it. Hakelev shenatal. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan amar eisha mishum chitzav, Reish Lakish amar eisha mishum chitzav. The big question. Okay. What does that mean? Rabbi Yochanan says that eisho is that person who ignites a fire or a person who is, you know, negligent in terms of the spread of a fire. It's mishum chitzav. Chitzav means arrow, which really means koach ha'adam. Just like if I throw a stone or I throw an arrow, right? That's considered to be my responsibility, and I'm held liable and accountable. So too, the fire, right, that does damage, that is destructive, you know, which is under my aegis, we'll just say more generally, right, that fire is considered chitzav shel adam. Is it really chitzav shel adam? Is that a perfect analogy? So obviously Reish Lakish didn't think so, as we'll see. So and Reish Lakish disagrees and says, Eisho is mishum mamon. That Eish is more like mamon ha'adam. Right? Meaning I'm responsible for my shore, right? And I'm responsible for my Eish, or for Eish that is under my aegis. We'll say that. Okay. So the Gemara explains as follows. Reish Lakish my tam alamak Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara gets right to it. You know, what flaw did Reish Lakish see in Rabbi Yochanan's thinking? Says the Gemara, Amalach, he'll tell you that chitzav mikocho ka'azli. Hai lo mikocho ka'azli. Meaning, you know, for my force is exclusively an extension of my power, right, and of my body. And that, if you recall earlier, when the Gemara talks about Adam, right, there's a, there seems to be a debate between Rashi and the Rambam whether kicho v'nio, spitting, for example, right, or possibly, it's hard to know, maybe something, right, is a tolda of Adam, or is actually considered the av of Adam. Right, Rashi says that kokol shel Adam is gufo. There's no difference. Just interesting. Because it's not true for an animal, as we'll see. But that's an interesting phenomenon. But the Rambam is of the opinion, and as is the Rif, that kokol shel Adam is a tolda. But either way, even if kokol is a tolda, right, it's still koach Adam. Right? Eish is koach acher me'urabba. Right? He, you know, gets the assistance of the process itself, meaning the fuel of the Eish, right, is something that that carries it. And, of course, koach acher me'urabba, the wind. And therefore, this is an imperfect mashal. That's what Reish Lakish says. V'Rabbi Yochanan ma'itama lo amar k'Reish Lakish. Why does Rabbi Yochanan disagree with Reish Lakish? What's wrong with saying Eisha Meshu Mamono? So the Gemara says, Amar lach, Mamona ispe mamasha, hai leispe mamasha. Right? Mamono, typically a shore, or any other mamono, is a concrete, you know, thing. And fire is much more amorphous. Right? It's not a concrete physical entity the way a shore is. What's that?
Does it mean it's not owned or means that?
No. It's not, it's just not, it's a different kind of physical, maybe the capacity to own it is reflection of that. It's not the cause here, but it might be a reflection of it. But it's much more than that. Oh. Okay. So even if we stop for a minute and think about this. This is kind of right in the very beginning of the sugya. First of all, I mean, the sugya starts off with the assumption that, as they say, I could let the secret out, you know, is later going to be rejected, and that is at least for Rabbi Yochanan, these are not mutually exclusive categories. But right now the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan rejects Mamono because Leispa Mashasha, and Reish Lakish rejects Rabbi Yochanan because it's not really Kocho Shel Adam. So Reish Lakish's rejection of Rabbi Yochanan, that stands, Lamatskana. But Rabbi Yochanan's exclusion of Mamono, that seems to be revised. According to 90% of the Rishonim, it's revised, and there are two dinim of Eish, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Right? There's one category called Eishim Shemchitza, of the other Eishim Shemamono. We'll try to show that for the Rambam and a few others, but especially for the Rambam, it may not even be that simple. It may be something a little bit different. Good. So that we'll get back to. But let's think about what each one says. Or let me put it this way. Rabbi Yochanan didn't understand the objection of Reish Lakish. That this isn't exactly Chitz of Shel Adam. That it's Koach Achar Me'urabo. Right? I mean, it's obvious that there's a discrepancy between Eish and Chitz of Shel Adam. Right? So one could basically take two positions regarding this. One is that, of course, I mean, you know, according to either position, Rabbi Yochanan understood factually that there's a discrepancy here. Rabbi Yochanan says it's an irrelevant or an inconsequential legal discrepancy because, you know, notwithstanding koach achar me'urabo, there's sufficient chitz of shel Adam that it qualifies within the threshold of chitz of shel Adam. As I know that it's not chitzav or kocho mamish, but what makes kocho and chitzav an extension of Adam, right, you have sufficiently, notwithstanding that difference in koach achar me'urabo. That's one approach. And if you take that approach, so then you're basically going to say that eishav shel chitzav should be taken literally. Let me make clear what I mean by that, which basically means that eish is Adam, right? Or if it isn't, then you have to explain why it's not. Because Chitzav is certainly Adam, If a person takes a bow and arrow and he destroys something, right, that's automatic. If he throws a stone, that's automatic. Right? So if I really, if I think that the discrepancy between kochacha ruerbo and chitzav is legally inconsequential, namely, this qualifies for chitzav, obviously it's automatic. So if it's really automatic, we should expect pretty much, right, all the dinim on Amazik. So we can ask a simple question now, and some Rishonim actually asked this question, and some, for some reason, looked this question in the eye and blinked and looked away. Okay, and that is, let's go back to the Mishnah for a second. Right? Arbav Sazikin, Hashor, Habor, Amava, Vahever. So you have a question on two sides. According to Rav, Mava is Adam. And Ish, if you hold Mishnah Shemchitza. Okay. If you say the Mishnah is not holding that way, that's fine. But Ish is, if Ish is Ish Shemchitza, then Ish Shemchitza literally means, you know, Adamamazik. So you have two Adamamaziks in the Mishnah? Or another way, like the Av and the Tolda in the Mishnah? That's pretty strange. Right? Okay. Of course, if we give a different answer, you know, for Rabbi Yochanan, that might solve the problem. But let me highlight it a little bit further. The Rambam deals with Adam HaMazik, as we've discussed. I mean, you could also say the Mishnah is not Aliyah D'Rav. You know, it could be a very simple answer. Right? There's a debate between Rav and Shmuel, as we discussed. The Rambam, for example, says that we don't paskin like Rav in the Mishnah. Right? Mava means shame. So if you want to put Eish, that should be fine. Except, not completely fine, because the Gemara itself, when it talks about one of the reasons that Shmuel doesn't like Mava to be Adam, and then later on Dalon and Beis and Heim and Aleph, when the Gemara talks about extended lists of Avos Hazikin, Rabchi and Raboshia. So there too, the Shakar of Tari, the Gemara, both on Dalit and Dalon and Beis and Heim and Aleph, is that, you know, maybe the Mishnah is only talking about, you know, Niske Mamon, not Niske Gufo, right? That's what Gemara wants to know. Maybe Chavala should be in the Mishnah, maybe Ganef and Gazel should be in the Mishnah. So one of the things the Gemara says, no, well, you know, if you don't hold Mavaza Adam, you know, you think that the Mishnah is talking about Mamono Shehizik. Okay. But that doesn't help you if you think that Eish, according to Rabbi Yochanan, means Eish Mishabchitza, because then Adam's back in the Mishnah. You don't have the problem of having two Adams in the Mishnah, you know, but you still have a problem, or somewhat of a problem, that we'll highlight in the Rambam. The Rambam paskins Eish Mishabchitza, but we'll see that he has an attenuated version of it, and I think that's the answer. But let's remember that the Rambam, as I've repeated all year, did a very unusual thing, right, in his dealing with Adam. And that is, he took Adam completely out of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, right, and he put it in Hilchos Chava L'Mazik, as we've discussed. Right, you have Nizkei Mamon, Gnei in Rambam. Nizkei Mamon, Gneva, Gazela, Chovel, Umazik. Chova L'Mazik, the Mazik part of Chova L'Mazik is Adam HaMazik. Right? So it's fascinating, but where's the Dinam of Eish? You have Niske Mamon there, right? Yeah. That's a is that the last chapter?
Yeah.
You trusting me?
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah,
okay. No, good.
Perikadalit.
What? Perikadalit is the last chapter in Hilchos Niske Mamon. Right? But, you know, you could have made the case, and you mean it literally, that it should be Hilchos Chova L'Mazik. Right?
Yeah.
So again, it's interesting, just to highlight it a little bit more, just one or two things from the Rishonim on the Mishnah, where you see it, a little bit of discussion of it. Here, probably on page 2. You know, you get little, they don't, they, some of them might say, some of them blink and some of them don't. Look at number 9 or 10. Rabbeinu Nissan al Pirish, de mima velo kasha midi. Right? That's what I mean by blinking a little bit. Meaning what? Rabbeinu Nisanel says, I mean, he's talking about the order of the Mishnah. So he says, right, Hashor Abor HaMaveh V'HaHever. So he says, well, if Mava is Adam, it's great, because you have Mava, which is Adam, and then you have Eish, which is Chitzav Shal Adam. Right? The problem with that is, I mean, it's fine if you ask me, but the problem with it is, so you have an Avna Tolda, I mean, you have three Avos and a Tolda, basically, in the Mishnah. And then the Gemara has a discussion, what about Toldos, and are they Kiyotze Behen? Right, and they consider other things, right? And they don't mention Tolda of Adam being Chitzav, they mention Kichav and Neo, right? And then it says, "Leman Damer Eishim Shemamono Kasavar Maveh Zehashen." Okay, right? V'Shem Kasav Tchilah Parsha. Great. Okay, next one, just very quickly. Haheber Hiksha Harav Rabbi Yitzchak Rav Asha Lama Shina L'Shona B'Sofo. Right? Lemasni Kareha Eish. That's what I referred to before. Why do you call it Hever and then you call it Eish? V'Lotani Kareha Hever. That's if you hold that Eish is Mishumamono, so it could be misleading, right? And therefore you want to immediately, even though that's a Lashon of the Kra, so you want to switch quickly to Eish. Lomar delam mishum chitzavu, ele mishum mamono. Ulaman darmer mishum chitzav, tana reisha hever, demashma biadayim, lomar deishim mishum chitzav. On the contrary, you mentioned hever first. Listen to this. Ubesefa tani kaharei ha'esh, the sefa vade mari hecha de kolu chitzav you'll see in the Gemara in a minute, or maybe probably in a few more than a minute, but before we finish this whole point, kolu chitzav means a case where when you ignited the fire, it had a certain expected capacity. Okay? And then what happens is circumstances intervene and the result of which is that it exceeds that capacity. Now there's really, really kololo chitzav, meaning the arrow part of it, meaning the koach adam part of it, meaning the anticipated hezek at the moment that you lose control of this fire or strike the match or whatever it is, right? It should finish, you know, at the 100-foot mark, all things being equal. It's kol lo chitzav. But it continues. The wall falls down. Okay, not because of the fire. So what he's saying is an amazing thing. He's saying, according to the Mandamar, Eisha Mishum Chitzav, basically the reasons for the double language in the Mishnah is to teach you two dinim. This is against, according to the Maskan of the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan believes in both. So Hever is Eishim Mishum Chitzav, and Eish is Eishim Mishum Mamodo Bekololo Chitzav. Okay? The Chiyuvah Mishum Mamono Meditani Lo Zeh V'zeh Sheish Beruach Chaim Dim Mishum Chitzav Ein Lecha Ruach Chaim Gadol Mizeh To Mikoach HaHezek Ba. That's a remarkable line. He says, if it's Eishim Mishum Chitzav, why is it no Ruach Chaim? What is a Ruach Chaim? It still spreads through the... It's still Eish. Because what's he doing? He's taking literally that it's Chitav. Meaning that it's Koach Adam. In other words, Reish Lakish's disagreement is not calculated in. Reish Lakish's... Meaning, Reish Lakish's disagreement is acknowledged but deemed legally inconsequential. So it really is chitzav. So it's chitzav then, this is very remarkable. It's not a lack of Ruach Chaim, it's koach adam. So there are two dinim referred to in if you know how to read the Mishnah properly, according to Rabbeinu Yeshaya, or Rabbeinu Nisanel, whoever it is, or both, then you would already know from the Mishnah, the Gemara's conclusion on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Yochanan thinks that there are two dinim. Wow. Look at another one. Mari Katz, Kasa, Hever al Shem Hezeko Kori Hever, Lacha Hachi Gabi Nezikin Korle Hever, Lekaman Delo Hiskin Nezikin Korle Leish. Okay, that's a little mysterious. Same problem. One second. Skip the next one because that isn't going to help us for the moment. Go to page 3. second. Tema. You see line 3? V'chomer l'man dam reshem v'shem chitzav. The higher meaning is again. If the remember that Tosis made the point that the Mishnah seems to treat Eish and Bor differently than the others, it never mentions our Chumrah. Right, it only mentions the Kula. Says the Shittim Gubat, the Gilyon here, Shittim Gubat says, what are you talking about? If you hold Eishim Shemchitza, it's on a Mamazik. In the Chumrah Gedola Mizu. Again, what are they taking? What's the assumption? That if you hold Eishim Shemchitzav, it really is Adam HaMazik. Now, if you ask him, so then isn't Adam in the Mishnah? So what do you need Mava for? If Mava is Adam, it's superfluous. If Mava is not Adam, and one of the reasons that Mava is not Adam is because the Mishnah is Niske Momon and not Niske Gufo, then how can Eishim Shemchitzav be here? Yishlomar Bishlom Adam Da'azik Shor, Adam and Mistalik Midios Mu'ed Vezekan Akala, Eish Lifamim Kala Lochitzav. Okay, again. Because sometimes it's Eishem Shemamono, not Mishum Chitza. Fine. Gilead, the next one. Kashal Ri. Lamanda Amar 6. Eishem Mishum Chitza. V'chein Ayriatana. V'od Ainu Adam Atzmo. Isn't that, usually the more frontal one, isn't that Adam? V'lo Mariba Adam. Lamanda Amar Mada. Hainu Shein. Adain Kasha. Yomer Lore. Eishem Wedes Lecho. Kol Dor Shein. Etc. Fine. Okay. Basically, you get the idea that in the Mishnah already, there is this interesting on various language, the order, the lack of Chumrah, right? Especially the connection to Adam, behold, Eishim Shemchitza. So, we already have in some of these treatments documented, right, the perspective that Eishim Shemchitza is taken literally, that it's really like a Toldah of Adam. Okay? What's the other perspective? The other perspective is, Rabbi Yochanan understood very well Reish Lakish's objection. He didn't think that the discrepancy between Chitzav Shal Adam and Eish was legally inconsequential. He did not think that. However, he felt that Betoras Eish, Eishos Mishim Chitzav. Meaning, he doesn't think it's Adam HaMazik, but he thinks it's awfully close. And of course, that requires further analysis. Okay? In which case, if it isn't really Adam HaMazik, but it's something on the precipice of Adam HaMazik, maybe it's Mitzurah for Adam, so then we're going to have to figure out which dinim of Adam HaMazik apply, and which dinim don't. But we can already appreciate that a lot of the questions that the Rishonim were bothered with, how can you have both Mava and Eish in the Mishnah? How, my question, why did the Rambam put Eish in this Kemamon and not in Nochus Chovel? Right, etc., etc., are attenuated by this perspective. Okay.
Isn't Nochus Chovel dealing with damage to another human being?
No, I'm just saying that the Rambam. But what I'm saying is for the Rambam specifically. The Rambam specifically put all of the dinim of Adam HaMazik, Adam Mu'ad Li'olam, all of those dinim, in Hichos Chovel HaMazik. That's the Mazik part of Chovel HaMazik. Chovel is personal assault. What is Mazik? Adam HaMazik. What Rav thinks is Maveh, what the Mishnah on Chavav is Adam Mu'ad Li'olam, Bein Er, Bein Yashin, Bein Ones, Bein Rot, that whole business we have been discussing, all of that in the Rambam is in Hichos Chovel. So the question I'm asking is, if the Rambam paskins Eishim Mishum Chitzav, and Chitzav literally means Chitzav, then that belongs in Nochus Chovel, doesn't belong in Niskei Momon. For the Rambam. For other people, and again, the Mishnayos put it all in the first 6 pocket. For them, Chovel means Chovel. 100%. Right? Again. Okay, yeah. Similarly, let's talk about Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Right? Reish Lakish says that Eishos Mishum Mamono. And Rabbi Yochanan critiqued it by saying, but it's lais b'mashasha. So again, the same paradigms. What does Reish Lakish respond? You could say that Reish Lakish says, okay, lais b'mashasha, and who said that is b'mashasha is a prerequisite for, you know, for niskei mamon? Right, even suggesting that it's only a bilus thing, right? Okay, so he says, it's true, and it's a, what do they call it? A you know, a difference without a consequence? What some phrase for that kind of thing? A distinction without a difference? Yeah. Is something like that?
Something like that.
A difference without a distinction? I have to, whatever it is. I'll just call it a difference without a, or a distinction without a consequence. Just like we were saying about Hokkana, that's one possibility. Or is it possible that even Reish Lakish, you know, understands that, you know, this isn't a classical mamona? Again, let's go back to the Mishnah for a second. You know, we still have that Rashi, you know, and we still have that Rambam, and we still have, you know, the use of the phrase hever and eish. And we still have an absence of the chumrah. It sounds like it's much more mechudash than other. Why is it if it's typical mamono? Right? Probably it would be more chumor if it's typical adamamazik. So is it possible that Reish Lakish also agrees it isn't typical mamono? Now that doesn't always have to be a kula. It could end up being also a bit of a chumrah. How much of a gap is there really, this is what I'm asking, between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Like in the furthest, if you take a strictly, you know, constructionist, you know, a literal approach to Rabbi Yochanan and to Reish Lakish and to their mutually exclusive debate in the beginning of the Gemara, then the gap is as wide as it could be. Rabbi Yochanan basically thinks that Eish is a subcategory. Or maybe it's within the category, maybe even calling it a subcategory is too much, of Adam HaMazik. And Reish Lakish says, it's like a shore, maybe a more makel shore, who knows. However, once we consider the impact of each argument on the other, and start navigating all of the evidence, the anomalies of the Mishnah, right, some of the discussions in the Gemara, especially some of the things that we're going to see, and especially in the post-Gim, right? Is it possible that the gap between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is not as great, and possibly in both directions, or at least in one or the other, but probably possibly in both? In other words, Rabbi Yochanan's Eishem Mishum Chitzav is not quite Chitzav. What he really means is that there is a tziruf to the Adam here, even if it isn't actually Maisav and Adam Amazik. But maybe Reish Lakish's Mamono, right, is only mamono in the sense that the paradigm of being mitzuraf to maisa mamoncha is something that we're familiar with as well. For example, when we talk about regel, one of the things that we were saying was, even more so than shame, right, sholach shlugmar havamina, that regel only is chayim in the case of sholach shluche, right, when you send it out. Meaning it's a maisa hezek. It's your maisa hezek al yedei mamoncha. Right? In which case, let me explain why. When the animal is responsible, but you are the bank account of the animal, you're chayiv because you're the bailim, but you're chayiv for the maisa habehema, then ispe mashasha, leispe mashasha factor. Because again, you want to pin all of this on that entity, but that entity has a bailim, or has a tziruf, etc. But the more we think of Niskei Mamon as an extension of Maisa Hezek HaAdam, okay, it's remote control. He didn't do it physically, you know, but he's responsible. He's connected to, I'm not saying he physically did, he's connected to Maisa Mamon. So in a certain sense, as I say, the Koach Hacha Me'ura Bo, which is a kula, when you want to make it responsible and you responsible for it, becomes a chumrah when it is what ties you to it. In other words, when it's tziruf to the ma'aseh hezek. So then, actually, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as far apart. Okay. We should also consider the possibility, I'm front-loading this analysis a little bit, but we'll hopefully see some of these expressions. I mentioned that at this point in the Gemara is mutually exclusive. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Shakish disagree with each other. Even then, I'm raising the question, you know, that maybe the gap between them is not as great on one side, on the other side, or even on both sides. Fine. In the Maskana of the Gemara, I'm going to run through the Shakamatari now. In the Maskan of the Gemara in Chav Gimel and Aleph, when the Gemara seems to say that Rabbi Yochanan believes in Eshem Shemachitza and Eshem Shemamono, is it possible that that's a transition point in the Gemara for understanding both? And that especially for Rabbi Yochanan, once he doesn't think these are mutually exclusive, for him at least, the gap between Eshem Shemamono and Eshem Shemachitza is narrower than what the Gemara thought it was in the beginning of the sugya, when it had two mutually exclusive ideas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Meaning, the structural change that takes place from Chav Beis Amid Aleph to Chav Gimel Amid Aleph may perhaps account for different perspectives that we have on both Eshem Shemchitzav and Eshem Shemamona, certainly one or the other. Okay? That's just things to think about. Okay, now let's get into the actual Shakavatar. So,
can you just explain when...
Yeah.
Rabbi Yochanan argued with the perspective of Reish Lakish, that's Mamona.
Yeah.
And he says, how could that be? There's no mamushas.
Right.
Does that mean that if you don't have mamushas, it can't be Mamona? I was thinking of...
No, that's what Simcha was saying also. I don't think that he means it in a bailus sense. I think he means it also that, but more than that. Meaning you can't be responsible, you know, for that behavior, you can be responsible for an animal's behavior, because an animal's a davar sheish b'mamish. Can't be responsible for the behavior.
So what does he do with boar? Boar is the paradigm of boar, is animal mushers. That's
okay.
So
why do you say that? Because of the Havala?
Yeah, especially.
Okay, so that's Tosis's question.
Especially if you have Havala.
Okay, so that is actually Tosis's question here. I don't want to get into that so much right now, but if you look at this Tosis, Mamono ispe mamasha, on the page here, on Chav Beis Amid Aleph, you're mechaving to Tosa's question. Okay, Mamona ispe mamasha. Tosa says, "Afagav de bor leispe mamasha." Right? Why? Because shechiva Torah lahavalo, because it's the environment, the air quality, the asphyxiation, the psychological, whatever it is that havala really is, which is a fascinating question. Right, the panic attack that it generates, whatever it is, the claustrophobia, whatever it is. L'havala v'lo l'chavato. It says, Mikomako mamono kein chitzo shadarko leiluch l'hazik, meaning not bore. I would have answered this question differently. I mean, you asked a question, and so I'm just pointing out that you're chavin to Tosa's question, and he gives two answers. I would have said, based on things that we've said in bore, that bore is a completely different kind of a mechayev. Maybe this is partially what Tosis means in the continuation. Namely, the Mechayev and Bor is Yitzira Samazik, as we've discussed, you know, in the past. And therefore, creating the Takala is what makes you Chayev, not what the Takala does. Now, the price tag, you know, only comes due because Nezek occurs as a result of the reality of this Takala. But it's letting this Takala loose on the world, creating it, or being its owner, that you're chayiv for. And therefore, you know, what it is and how it works is less relevant than the fact that it is a takala, unquestionably, and you created it. But when you're chayiv mishum mamono, right, that's why we don't care that it's mamon chanbor, practically, you know, basically. We don't. It's Rishus HaRabim is the paradigm. If it's mamon chay, you might even be pator. That's the debate between Rabim and Shmuel and, you know, others later, Kiva or Bishma. But the point is that when it comes to shore and other things where you're responsible for what the animal did, and therefore your relationship to that animal becomes a factor in your responsibility for what it did, right? In that, we care about mamasha. Tosas here gives us a different animal. Tosas, if you hold up, maybe that's what he means by that. I'm not sure. Meaning, if you're talking about not the... you know, the way the nezek occurs, but the active you know, act of hezek, meaning not bor, that needs mama. Inami, bor nami choshev yisrael mamasha, though they kriya sabar mishtana mamasha shokar. He says, even if the havalas is what kills the animal, creating the bor is still done by a physical act. You displace the dirt, you know, you change the contours of the ground, right? That's all very physical. Benasa cholol, you make a space, right? Av makom hiluch shel heves, in a mishtana mamashuso, elishanasa dolek v'soreif. Okay. And then he talks about tsroras haruach, you have an animal and it flaps its wings, and as a result of, that's a different kind of mamashus. So Tosas discusses it.
Okay.
What's that?
The
vibe. Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what he says. Yeah, way before. Well, we'll get to the gravity problem soon. You know, there's the famous Chiddush Ran, and the Ran of David Bonfield and Sanhedrin of Ayin Zion. You know, is gravity koach achar meurabo? Right, is it more or less? Is like there a force called gravity, or gravity is just a function of the mass itself? You know, and then the effect that it has. It's not a force. They tell me that in the world of physics, both are really true, obviously. I mean, there are two elements, clearly. But, you know, that I don't think it's Machlokes Stephen Hawking and Einstein. But, yeah, sorry.
But the chitzo.
Yeah.
Where's the koach hachamurbo?
There isn't.
No,
that's the point. Right. That's what Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan.
Oh, he said that?
That's what he said.
No,
he's saying, Chitzav, Reish Lakish, Eshav Shimamon, Reish Lakish, my time, Lomach Rabbi Yochanan, I'm like, Chitzav, Mikoko Ka'azu. Hi, why Mikoko Ka'azu? It's Mikoach, Koach Acham Urabo, or the fuel. That's exactly what he's saying. That's what Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now. This is going to take so long. Okay, so let's. By the way, just before we get to that, Eshem Shemchitza. Just look at the Tosis very quickly. Oh, before we get to that, fine. Look at the Rashi. Mishum Mamono. First, look at Rashi and Chav Kbeisam and Aleph. This is the one that says you need Bailus. Kishoro uboro, shehiziku, like a shore and a boar. Kasoka daitach dika benayu kagon shehidlik begachela sheina shalo. This is Rashi's ha'ara. In the Havamina, where they thought these are mutually exclusive, the Nafkamina would be where you ignite something with a flame or a coal that's not yours. The Rabbi Yochanan, who cares, chayev, the chitzav hein. Right, because you're still harnessing that power, so it's still koach chitza ba'adam. L'reish Lakish pata l'ad mamono. Okay. Okay. Now look at Tosas disagrees. Eshem shem chitza. First of all, Tosas points out lo sheyavir ba'atzmo ha'esh. It doesn't mean you have to ignite the fire. You have to start the fire. Later on in the sugis in the sixth parak, they discuss, you know, Liva believes Saharuach, you know, Zehavias Ha'etz, Zehavias Ha'esh. Like, the Gemara hits it all. You know, who does what, partnership, you know, who's fanning the flame, Zeyachol Zeyachol, those cases. All those cases are discussed later on. But Tosis just wants you to know now, because Chitzav, you could think, oh, you know, you take the bow and arrow, you take the arrow, you take the stone, you throw it. So you initiate it. So does that mean you have to initiate fire in order to be chayav for it? Right? Says, and everybody agrees, this isn't just, but I think it's very comfortable because ten chitzav all the time. Less so Rashi. But Tosha says, lo sheyavir ba'atzmo ha'esh. It doesn't mean he has to ignite the fire. Ela kol mokum shepashav l'shamar gachalaso, chitzav ninu. When he is the one, you know, who controls the fire, or could stop the fire, right, so then his mismanagement is chitzav. Again, that could be a technical point, or you could see already that Tosis is kind of you know, as I say, diluting a little bit, you know, the chitzav part, the automamazik part. Okay. Eshem Shem Mamono, the next one. Klomar, chiyuv mamono yeshbo. Okay, Rotosa, whenever somebody says klomar, as I mentioned in the past, klomar means something is up. You don't need to say klomar, it's a superfluous word, right? In other words, when somebody says in other words, you know, he's uncomfortable. So what Tosas is saying is, I know mamono means bilus, typically, but here it doesn't mean that. Klomar, in other words, chiyuv mamono, right, yesh bo, meaning there's chiyuv mamon in this, meaning we treat it, you know, not as your action, but as a situation where you're held accountable, you know, even though you didn't do it, you know, like as if your mamon did it. Velo sheha eish shalo, not that you need bailus, tafilu hidlik be'eish shal acher, chayiv kidash kam beperek hakones. What's the case there? Kofev komoso shal chaveiro b'fnei adleika. So this is fire, raging fire, or whatever, normal fire, whatever it is, and you you move the stalks, you know, of your friend's field, right, so that it will also catch the fire. Right? It's not your fire, not your stalks, but your chayiv. Right? So umati beruach mitzuya. So that there's no bailus there. The Shidduch Kubetzes has a line here where Shidduch Kubetzes says, I don't think that's a good example, because I think that is mazik biyadayim mamash. Okay, now why they think that that's more mazik biyadayim than eish, I think I have a little bit of an understanding. Why you move the thing in the path of the fire. Could be better, could be worse, but they think it's different. But what's particularly fascinating is, what they're saying is, what do you mean that's mazik biyadayim? Isn't that what eishim shemchitzav is?
Yeah, exactly.
This is the mandam eishim shemamono.
Yeah.
Meaning, it sounds like the Shidduch Kubetzes, and there are numerous lashonos and rishonim like this, are saying there's daylight between Eshem Shem Chitzav and Mazik B'Yadayim. Exactly what we were talking about before. It's not Maveh. It doesn't belong in Ilchus Chovah. It's not a Tolda of Adam. It's the Nizke Mamon most proximate to it. But it's not it. So even Reish Lakish can agree that there are going to be some cases which are considered Adam Amaz. Will Rabbi Yochanan even think that there's a difference between the two? Maybe. Maybe. Things like Talmud, we'll get to it. The Gabi Getz Shiyotza Mitachas Apatish. Getz Shiyotza Tachas Apatish, again, a Mishnah later on. You know, you have a, you know, you strike a hammer or something, you know, a metal, and it's, you know, it generates sparks, right? So, Afa Gav De Mistama Mafkirle, you don't want those sparks. You're just trying to, you know, do your iron work or whatever your hobby, you know, is or work is. So you don't want the sparks. So, you know, you're not interested in them. You don't own the sparks. So mistami your mafkir. But you're chayiv anyway. But od ein l'chadam she's chayiv b'dleika. According to Rashi, you know, we have a good, you know, scheme for anybody who doesn't want to be chayiv resh. Right? Let them light a fire. Let him take the you know, the coal and be mafkar it and then light it. And burn down, he can pyro, you know, maniac the whole world, it'll be potter, according to Rashi, according to Reish Lakish, of Esha Mishumamon. Okay? Veloka Pirsha Kudris, the Pirsh Dika Benayu, the Adlik Bagakala Shane Shalom. That's what Rashi, that's what Tosis rather was referring to in Gimel Amud Beis. Okay. Let's continue. Rabbi Yochanan, this is also interesting, next one. Rabbi Yochanan by Tamil Amakar Reish Lakish. Afagab the Dorish Tamid Rabbi Yochanan Bikroi. We'll see later on. Again, I guess we're not going to finish Shaka. Probably have to finish Shaka Vatari next week. But the Gemara, it's in the end of the... you know, I'm just going to skip to the end of the Gemara for a minute so you just see that it's there, and then I'll fill in the middle next time. But the Gemara here, just going to skip for a minute. I'm Chav Beis Amud Beis. We'll have to come back to it next week anyway. Amar Rava. This is four lines from the bottom. Everybody have it? Amar Rava. Kra umasnita misayale l'Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, the Psukim and the Mishnah both support Rabbi Yochanan that Eishem Shemchitza. Kra, dechsiv kiteitze Eish. Teitzei me'atzma. It says ki teitzei eish. It sounds passive. You know, the fire burns, right? You're not attributing it at that point, meaning it sounds like, right? And then it says yishalem hamavir es ha-be'era, that the person who ignited it pays for it. Shma mina eish mishum chitza, meaning it's eish. He didn't even light it necessarily, but al pidin, he's considered the mavir. Interesting, right? And masnita also. The Tanya, the Mishnah later on, Samachomidei, says pasach akra beniske mamono, for the same idea. The siyam beniske gufo, lo malacha esha mishum chitza. In other words, what's both mamona and chitza? Okay? So, I'm going to go back here, now I'm still going to finish up the Gemara. So Tosa says, Rabbi Yochanan Maitama Lomer Kareish Lakish. This one on Chabbe Samad Aleph. Tosa says, Afagav the Dorish Tamad Rabbi Yochanan Mikroi. What do you mean, Rabbi Yochanan Maitama Lomer Kareish Lakish? He has a pasuk. Such an explicit pasuk. Right? So Tosa's answer is, Havle Luk Mikro Ladra Shachriti. The Svara, right, Kareish Lakish. Inami, Kasalta Daita Kashta, demand the Islam Mishum Chitza Vlaisam Mishum Amono. At this point, the Gemara thinks that if you hold one, you can't hold the other. The Kaboy, Hecha the Kalo Chitza Vamailo Machai Mishum Amono. He wants to know not why he holds Esha Mishum Chitza, but why he doesn't think that Esha could be Mishum Amono. But what I like to point out is the Pasuk is a double edged sword, a little bit. Meaning, The Pasuk, you know, the Raya from the Pasuk and from the Mishnah are from the Seifa, right? It starts off Kiteitze Eish, and then it ends up, it calls Yishalem HaMavir. You know, the Mishnah starts off with Nizke Moma V'siyam B'Nizke Gufo. So if you want to look at the Seifa, the bottom line, then that's all fine. But there is another possibility, and that is that the Limud isn't just about the bottom line, it's about the process. Meaning, what we've been discussing is, again, two perspectives within Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but for Rabbi Yochanan, meaning, Rabbi Yochanan holds Eshem Shem Chitza, really? It's Adam Amazik? Right? Then they're going to only emphasize the Seifa. And then Tosa's question is a powerful question. Meaning, of course Rabbi Yochanan has to believe Eshem Shem Chitza, because he's a Mavir. But if it's possible that even Eshem Shem Chitzav is not Adam Amazik, it's just Chitzav Betoras Nizke Mamono, then if you ask me, the Pasuk and the Mishnah are even better proof. Because the proof isn't just the Seifa. The proof is the combination of the Resha and the Seifa. What we're saying is, even though we're dealing with Nizke Mamon, even though it's Kiteitzei Eish, and even though it's Pasach HaTana, Beniske Mamono, it's Siem Beniske Gufo, it's Siem B'Yishalem HaMavir. But once you have that, then it's not so, you could say it's a Raya, because we know Rabbi Yochanan holds that way, but, you know, why does, it doesn't, that, you can now answer Tosa's question, meaning it isn't, like Rabbi Yochanan didn't need to give a Svara, he did, because this Raya, once you eliminate Eshem Shem Mamono, and all that's left is this new category, that's fine. But absent that, the attenuation of Adam HaMazik, like Mativo Shol Eish Zeh, right? Not so simple. Okay, so give me one more minute. So then the Gemara says, I'm just going to tell you, again, the end of the Gemara, then we'll fill in the middle, because you can't fully appreciate also what's so mekudash about the end until you read the middle. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Kashalei, Labaya, right? L'man damar eshem shum chitzav tamun be'esh de pata rachmana hecha mishkach asla. So what you need to know is, we've discussed this a little bit in the past, that again, every one of the nizke of the nizke mamons have special chidushim, as we know. Shein a regular pata b'shus harab. Right, boars potter ba'adam ubekein. Right, Karen is tam chatzin nezek. What's a special chiddush of Eish? So it's machlokas in the Mishnah, but the pashtos, the chachamim are of the opinion that the p'tur tamu, if something is hidden, you know, in a gadish, and the gadish burns down, right, your patur, all things being equal, there are a lot of qualifications of this, for the tamun. Says the Gemara, why should you be patur for the tamun if you hold a shem shemchitza? Now, but pashtus, it's interesting, there are two formulations of this question. Look at Rashi, he takes the more extreme one. Hechem ishkachasla, ilo adam zorek chetz vihizik betamun, lo mechai benezek? If a person takes an arrow and he throws something and it pierces, you know, some outside facade and it destroys what's inside, you want to be chai? Right? Chaim b'lam b'hai pirka petzatachas patzal, chaim b'shogeg kemezit onis karatzon. Right? Meaning, the question is, if this is Eshem Shemchitza, according to Rashi, is being literally compared to Adam HaMazik. Once again. There's an inami, probably from his Rabosa, Lishnach Rina, Haicheitz le'olam betamun u'nechnas, u'mazik, velo shamati. Yeah, I don't like it so much. Meaning, this is not, it's not based on comparison to Adam HaMazik, it's based on the comparison to Chaitz. If you're going to compare Eish to Chaitz, Chaitz typically penetrates and destroys what's hidden. That's different than asking that it's identical to the dinim of Adam HaMazik. And Rashi says, lo shamati, you know, I don't like this pshat. Look at Tosis. Tosis moderates the question, even as he understands it, like Rashi, to be substantive, but it's substantive in a much more moderate way. Look at Tosis. Pirsh, bishlom alamandam reishim bishim mamono. Right, the question isn't exclusively Eshem Shemchitza. The question is the contrast between Eshem Shemamono and Eshem Shemchitza. If you hold Eshem Shemamono, ain't tame of the Patur Tamun. Then the Patur Tamun isn't astonishing. Apagav, the Bekon Nuske Mamono, Kamokaren Shem Rego Chayiv Tamun. I, the other Mamonos are Chayiv Tamun. Right? Shemamon, Matsino, Chilukim, Bekaren Shem Rego, Lehilchosei. They have other anomalies, other Paturim. It's just, it's like Rashi, but it's more moderate, if you could see. So that's the question. Okay. Now, the simple pshat is that the Gemara is saying that Tamun is incompatible with Eishem Shemchitza. Okay. Just remember that, because I'll tell you now that, again, we're not going to have time for today, but the Rambam holds Eshem Shemchitza, and of course he paskins the Patur Tamun. And the Gra, if you look on the side of the Gemara, or the bottom of the Gemara, it says, Nir B'enei Harifa Rambam Mefarshim Shechazer Miteretz Harif. The Gra understood that the Rambam had to have a different read of this Gemara, which we'll get to next week. So the Gemara says, okay, if you hold Eshem Shemchitza, what do you do with Tamun? The Gemara says, V'nichalei, not a problem. Kagon just need a little ingenuity. Kagon shuffle it leka leosa chotzer. You have a fire. V'nafla gader shalom machmas dleka. This is what we call kol lochitza. That's originally, it shouldn't have gone beyond that point because it's a gate, and the gate should have contained the fire. But the gate fell down for some other reason. It was decrepit. There was a wind. It's nothing to do with the fire. So all of a sudden, this more innocent or this more contained fire is now about to go rogue, out of control, right? V'holcha v'idlika v'yizika v'chatzer acheres, and now it spreads, right? V'hasam kololochitzav. We can't blame that on Eshem Shemchitzav anymore. So what does that mean, Shum? So the Gemara says, well, Ihachi, so that's why it's Patur, because there's no Eshem Shemchitzav, right? Says the Gemara, Ihachi linin galui nami kalochitza. So why is it, that's a reason why the Tamun is potter? The Eish originally should have only had damage till this point, point X, right? Because of this confluence of circumstance, unanticipated confluence of circumstances, it's now damaging beyond X. Whatever it damages, it should be potter, because it's not what he did. If you hold Eishim Shem Chitzav and there's no Chitzav because it's called no Chitzav, then the rest should be put as an act of nature. Right?
Well, why is Talmud good according to Eishim Shem Amano?
What?
Why is Talmud the Ptur and Talmud? What is that?
No. That's what I was saying before. If you hold Eishim Shem Mamono, so just like the other Mamonos have Chidushim, Xeris HaKasim, so this has Xeris HaKasim. Ela lemandamer di islay mishum chitzav, says the Gemara, islay namim mishum mamono. This is the way most Rishonim interpret, not the way the Rambam reads, but I'm going to read it the way the Gemara does. The answer is, we thought until now that eishim shum chitzav eishim shum mamono for Yochanan were mutually exclusive, because leispa mishasha, we're retracting that half of it. Now we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan has two dinim of eish, chitzav and mamono. In the case of kallo chitzav, he has eishim shum mamono. But Eishim of Shemamono is subject to the Ptur of Talmud. Ukagon Shailo Lagodra. Why is it even Chai for Galui? It's an Onus. The answer is he has the ability to stop it. In other words, the convergence of events are create a Kololo Chitzav. So when he put the fire in motion originally, or he didn't guard it, or whatever it was, he's not Chai for that anymore. But it's still Mamono. And he could stop it now by building up by putting some other barrier there or whatever it is, below Godra. Right? But that's nothing to do with the fire. That has to do with he could contain his animal. Remember you asked me the expression, Dehasam Shoruhu velo tabach be'ape. That's where the expression came from that you asked me about before. He's not, it's like his animals, you know, on the rampage. He could close them in his pen and he doesn't do it. But that's a mamu. The chimas, oh. That's the Gemara. So he has both. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, listen to this. The Chima Acher demand the Islam Mishum Chitzav Isbeinam Mishum Amono my Benayu. But if Rabbi Yochanan holds both, what's the difference? What does he need both for? Okay, now this is Tamua, but we haven't read the middle Gemara, so you don't know why it's Tamua. The part that we skipped, the Gemara went through at least between three and four Nafkamina, between Eishim, trying to bring proof back and forth. So all of a sudden the Gemara forgot all of its nafkaminas. This is what Rashi asks, right. This is what Tosis asks. Clearly this is what motivated the Rambam's other reading. I'll explain all this next week. Yirtz Hashem. But my binayu says the Gemara, nu mafkamina, ika binayu l'chai v'dalad dvarim. If you cause eishim shum chitzav, an assault, if the fire attacks a person, injures a person, then you'll be chai v'dalad dvarim. Like on a mechovel. So Eishim Shum Chitzav has the capacity of being chovel. So I'll just raise the question because we have to wear a lane already, but I'll stop. But Eishim Shum Chitzav works in Chavala. Wow. Does it work in Rotzeach? Is it considered a Maisa Ha'adam in Hilchos Shabbos? Let's say something is accomplished by Eish. This is a famous question in Mukhe Yosef. The single most famous Nimuka Yosef of all time. Right? You light candles Erev Shabbos. Right? Says the Nimuka Yosef, Eisha Mishum Chitzav. It's still burning on Shabbos. You should be Chayiv for the Melechas Havaras Eish. I mean, we know that's wrong. The question is to figure out why is it wrong. Okay? So what about Eishom Mishum Chitzav in Shabbos? What about Eishom Mishum Chitzav in Rotzeach? The Gemara says it is in Kabbalah. What about Eishom Mishum Chitzav in Shchit? It doesn't have to be through Eish. It could be Avonos. That's why, remember we said the Ra'ah says Avonos Akino Maso, Berosh Agag is not Chitzav, it's only Mamono, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. It becomes important for that. Let's say you put a Shchita knife in a place where the wind blows it and it does a perfect, you know, Shchita, right? Or if you do have to do tefila b'mikvah as a maisa ha'adam, or netilas yadayim, let's say, of koach hagavra, what about netilas yadayim or tefila b'mikvah al yedei koach achar b'urabo? What's the halacha? Okay? So these are a lot of issues. So we'll go through the middle gemara here because that's very important. Try to figure, again, the parameters of Eishim Shem Chitzav and Eishim Mamono a little bit more. Yes, Hashem.